Well, good morning again. It's good to see you all. Got a beautiful crowd with us today, and I appreciate your presence. If you have your Bibles, look with me, please, to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Ephesians, the fifth chapter. As I was saying in class this morning, we've studied Ephesians throughout this last quarter. Great study, a great book that you can spend time really appreciating the very things of God. It's a great letter. And there's many, many good lessons out of it. I thought as we came to the end of our study, I could pick out some things about our having the New Year's Day before us. And I thought that'd be a great thought. So we'll look in Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Great to see you all. I hope it's been a good morning for you and got a beautiful day in which we can come together. Do appreciate so very much the opportunity of just being able to speak some things that would be beneficial to you. Look with me in Ephesians 5, and we'll read verse 15. Verse 15, 16, 17, and 18. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. When we face a new year, in so many ways, we face that which we've already faced in many ways. The last year has been a great year, and it's been a tough year. It's been a sad year. We've had a lot of funerals. We've had some births, too, and families and friends and things of that nature enjoyed the birth of a child and their family, and that's always an occasion of happiness. There's been difficult times. Businesses have been tough. There's a lot of stress in the world today, but also you can almost say that's true every year. There's going to be unexpected deaths. There's going to be births, and there's going to be political problems and wars, sorry to say, sometimes worse than others. But when we come to the first of a year, it's that time it's easy for us to stop and maybe take an inventory, think about our life. And then we do that on our birthday many times, or maybe when we have a family reunion, get all the kids together. It's good for us to think about life and our relationships with everyone and how we look at things, and this is just a good time to do that. And I was thinking about that as we finished our study of Ephesians the other day. And I thought this would be a good study for us on the eve of New Year's Day. Paul had been talking about in the first three chapters the wonderful God that we serve and has provided so much for us. And then when you get to the fourth chapter, 4, 5, and 6, he started giving them, these are things that I expect of you, keeping the unity of the Spirit. And then here in the fifth chapter, walking in love and the light and the wisdom of the will of God. And so when we read this, I'll just suggest to you some things that just come to your mind, and it's pretty well outlined for us just as we read those verses. I'll just talk about some advice the Apostle Paul would give unto us as Christians who recognize the great glories of God, the great mercy he has shown unto us. How do we respond to that? And he tells them in the whole fifth, sixth, and seventh, or sixth chapter is that very thing. For God, but I just pick out this one verse. And so I just suggest to you, number one, realize that time is limited. We read there in verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. I don't know how you would say that, but when he's talking about redeeming the time, he is talking about realize that time is limited for all of us. And we may not finish out the next year. Well, we may not make it to next year, really, if you just stop thinking about today. But our time here is limited. But before that, he is telling us, realize that our time here is something that shouldn't be thought of and depended upon, that we're going to control this, that. James talks about that quite a bit. But here, just Paul is saying, see then that you walk circumspectly. Pay attention to your life, not necessarily your political life or your financial life or your employment life, which are important, But let's spend some time thinking about here on this earth, about that I am a servant of the Lord. We need to pay attention to so many things in our days. We pay attention to a car payment has to be made. We've got kids in schools. We have to watch our weight always. We have to watch and think about sometimes the weather may make us have to make changes in our plans and things of this nature. But time on this earth is limited. And it's finite. There's only so many springs, so many summers for us. We're not going to live to be 150 years old, I don't believe. So there's just so many springs and summers that we will have in our life. And time, our life in time, cannot be repeated. It cannot be relived. It cannot be retrieved back. There's no such thing as instant replay. Sometimes we might wish there was, but we don't have an instant replay. Time continues on, and we're a part of that, and we keep moving. And let us have as the frame of mind to refuse to be in bondage to the past, especially. That seems to be such a bugaboo for so many people, living in the past, reliving mistakes or things that have gone wrong with this attitude of, if only I had, fill in the blank. And we can't change that. And the only thing we can really do is to have an attitude toward, every time that thought comes up, instead of thinking, if only I had, just demand of ourselves, next time it will be different. It will not be repeated on my part. And that'll allow you to profit from mistakes that you maybe made in the past, that all of us make. It's just this idea, from now on, this is the way it's going to be, and establish priorities in my life that include Christ. Look with me over in Philippians, the third chapter. In Philippians, the third chapter, we read down at verse 12. Paul says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold upon that for which Christ also has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God. This is how I dedicate my life. And that's why every one of us ought to think these thoughts. And if we look back over the last year and see if it's been profitable or not, or it's been a good year or tough year, for the most part, I think we'd all say that, maybe tough, difficult, a lot of things we've had to face we didn't want to, but there's a lot of hope and there's a lot of potential, and it takes a frame of mind, one who is service of the Lord, to have our Christ priorities right. There's this demand made of us. One person I was reading one time said that it's to such a point he would state that a person's priorities will tell you everything you need to know about that person. And I thought, well, that's a pretty good point. It may take you a while to figure out all their priorities, but if you know why they live and how they live and the purposes and the plans that they have, you go a long way to understanding that person. And we must understand life is just not one of those things that's going to be balanced for everybody. Well, I don't think it ever is for anybody and everybody. It's not that. It's a conscious decision to choose our priorities today. Why and how am I going to live? And life is up and down, whether you're young or older. And there are some things that are more accentuated, maybe in younger life or older life, or maybe in the business world and maybe in retirement. And there are different decisions that have to be made. We must prioritize our life. First and foremost, as Paul says here, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There was never a time in my life as a Christian that I should lose sight of the fact that one day I will stand before Christ and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That ought to be the one thing I live for in my life. We don't want to hear the other. And so when Paul begins to close up his letter to the Ephesians, he is telling them here, he said, I want you to stop and think about how you conduct your life every day. And that's the idea he's talking about when he says, walk circumspectly. Watch your step. Watch where you're going and why you're going. And I'm not saying that's easy. But it's something Paul would go out of his way to mention to these brethren here when he says, see that you walk circumspectly. And he wouldn't say that if everybody was doing it. And it takes some discipline to do that, to demand that of yourself. What's my life all about? I'm not trying to be the richest person in town. I'm not trying to be the most popular person in town. I'm trying to serve the Lord. And I want to be acceptable of Him. That's the most important thing I can have in my life. Realize that my time here is limited. And I only can be a person that can make so many decisions and be in so many different places. Well, look with me also. He makes this statement. Let me go ahead. When he says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. He's connecting the idea of redeeming the time to the days being evil. Use our opportunities to serve the Lord. Just the way, that's another point that he's getting at, that we redeem, watch where we're going and what we're doing. The word redeem there is from a market word. The word market in Greek is agora. A restaurant in Dallas named the Agora. And that just means market. And this one is ex agora. It means out of the market. Something that's associated with it, that's something you take from it. And sometimes it's sometimes used as the word ransom. And sometimes it means to buy back or to protect. But it says something that has to do with your everyday life, redeeming the time, using your opportunities. And we've got opportunities, maybe not as many as we'd like, and maybe a lot more than we recognize many times. But it's just this idea of recognizing, as he reads there, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I don't think anybody doubt that for a moment in our society, the way society's going. It can almost be frightening. I mean, almost to the point where you don't want to watch the evening news and you're frightened not to. That something may have tragically happened. The days are evil. Evil is the idea. Basically, the idea is that of harm. Destruction or harm or something that can bring about that which would nullify all the things. We, for example, over in 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6, describing the society in which Paul was writing to there in Corinth. And he's very bold in his statement. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, he says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Well, yes, they knew that. How many times had Paul told them that when he was with them or when he wrote his letters to them? He's reminding them of this society in which they live, that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexual, nor sodomite, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He's not talking about alternative lifestyles. That's what our populace would call it. Someone may be just expressing their own ideas, or maybe they're experimenting with things of their life, or they're just living free. I don't know, a lot of other things. But when you read this point that Paul is making to the Corinthians, you don't misunderstand what he's saying. There's a lifestyle that will meet with the judgment of God. And we need to be appreciative of that and recognize that the opportunities that come our way must first of all be made by the Word of God. Use our opportunities. Use our opportunities that when we have the opportunity to talk to someone about the gospel of Christ, not to be overcome, not to be overcome in this world. Over in John, the 17th chapter, the prayer of Jesus, John 17, and we'll look down at about, look with me beginning in about verse 13. John 17. He's praying now, and he changes from talking about his relationship to his Father to those who would follow him, who would be a part of his teaching. John 17 in verse 13. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Verse 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you would take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is true. We know verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And what he's talking about there is Jesus is praying for his disciples in this world, trying to do the Lord's work, trying to be people of God. And he is praying that they would be successful in keeping their eyes upon what God would have them to do. We can get distracted. We can be overloaded with a lot of things. It can happen. We can have possessions that demand so much of our attention. Maybe our work is a demand upon our life. Some people's work is tremendously stressful. Be bombarded with information from every direction. Paul expected Christians, though, to focus their lives upon him and do that through the word. Verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not in the world. And he says, sanctify them, set them apart, make them holy through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Use our opportunities to serve the Lord in the year to come. Make it an intentional part. Maybe it changes the way we read the word of God, or the time we spend in prayer, or the time just thinking about what I could do that might help the cause of Christ, that would be more beneficial to the local congregation and the work we're trying to do. When we think of the opportunity, Paul expected Christians to work. Look with me over in 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. 1 Thessalonians, fourth chapter. And we look down at about, I like the transition that he makes here in the paragraph. When you read, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9. Paul says this. He says, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another, and indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. And then here he begins to change the thought, which goes into another well-known passage. But here in verse 11, he says that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. What's interesting is immediately he goes right into this well-known passage about brethren who have fallen asleep, brethren who have passed on, who have died. He makes this statement that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. But, verse 13, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. And he goes on to talk about them, that those brethren who have gone on, who have fallen asleep, he said, they're taken care of. And when the Lord returns, he's going to bring them with them. He's going to bring them with him. But my point is, look at the last verse of the chapter, verse 18. He was telling them this. He said, I want you to aspire. Mind your own business. You do your own work. You take care of the things of God, and you take care of the things that you need. But also, I want you to understand there's coming a time where we have to say goodbye to brethren, to brothers and sisters of this life, and let us understand they're taken care of. And he says in the very last verse of the chapter, verse 18, he said, therefore do what? Comfort one another with these words. He's talking about the death of friends and loved ones. He said, yeah, I want you to understand the death of friends and loved ones, but I want you to be comforted by the fact that they're taken care of by the Lord. That's important. Use our opportunities that come our way to the best of our ability to mind our business, and we take care of the Lord's business. And when we face the difficult, trying days ahead, as we always will, let's do so in the will of the Lord, prayerfully, thinking about these are opportunities to serve the Lord. And sometimes we might not understand that. So we strive to emphasize these very things. Let me suggest to you, third one, look how he says it as we come back to our statement in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, verse 15 again. He says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Understand the Lord's will. Understand the Lord's will as compared to what? As to not understanding how we should live. Do not be unwise. That would be easy if we don't pay attention to the very things that God would have us to be and do. Don't be unwise. It can happen if we're not paying attention to what the Lord would have us to be and what the Lord would have us to be doing. Don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I mean, just simply from the obedience to the gospel of Christ. In Acts 2, you read down verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ." And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter gives them this answer. He says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Let us face that. Let's deal with that. Let's be ready to tell that to people who ask the question. Let us be impressed that this is where we begin the service of the Lord. Sometimes it goes further than that. Understand what the Lord's will is. Back up with me to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Still talking about the Sermon on the Mount here. Matthew, the 7th chapter. I just think 13 and 14 describes the Christian life. And the Christian life in between the world and the Christian. There's just two ways to walk. Matthew 7, 13, 14. "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Understand what God's will is. Know this. Be people who can think the very will of God. This will be the thing that will help yourself and help others. And it's always been that way. What God demanded of, well, all the way back in the time of Joshua. Remember in Joshua, the 3rd chapter, you start reading in verse 1. It just makes this statement. "And then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from across the acacia grove and came to the Jordan. He and all the children of Israel lodged in there before they crossed. So it was after 3 days, and the officers went through the camp, and when they commanded the people, saying, 'When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and all the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it.'" You follow the ark of the covenant. For us today, you follow the ark of the covenant. You follow God's Word. You follow God's presence as we see to hear in the Word of God. You follow God's power. I mean, but that's always been the thing that God had wanted of His people. That's why Joshua later on would tell him in Joshua 23, he said, "Choose. You choose this day whom you're going to serve." Isn't it amazing? He goes, all those years of following Moses, then all that time that Joshua would be leading them, and finally Joshua still has to say to him, "Choose. You've got to choose where you're going to stand." Follow God's word. God's word says that to live holy and pure and sober and choose God's way. Understand what God would have us to be. And that's what we need to put before us as we go through this new year. Never be left without understanding what God's will is for us. And let me end with this one. Come back with me again, back in as we read in Ephesians 5. Again, he says, verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is waste or dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Don't do this, but do this. Almost the same thing he was saying in the previous verse. Not to be weighed down with all of the frivolity of life and the misleading things of this life. Not to be the one talent man that did not hear from his Lord an approval. Let us be people who understand that we're to be filled with the Spirit. And most basically, I mean, you just talk about, you know, we were discussing, like in Galatians, what is the fruit of the Spirit? Be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Being filled with, developing in your life, the very fruit of the Spirit is that person that is guided by and is filled by and is filled of the Spirit. Being guided by it. He's not talking about miraculous manifestations of the apostles. He's talking about us being guided by the Word and the will of God, taking the things of God into our heart and mind and living them out. Peter said, add unto your faith. This is something that Christians are to do. He's talking about you and I as a child of God as we go through this life. He says, add unto your faith virtue, knowledge, and temperance, and patience, and godliness. He's telling us to be a certain kind of person, and that if we don't add this to our life, then we're mistaken. We're not living as God would have us to live. We could talk about many other things. I think that's enough. We'll stand before the Lord one day. We're going to be judged by the Lord one day, and we will give an account of how we used our opportunities to serve the Lord, how we used the days of our life. We're to take every opportunity that we have is to serve the Lord, to live in harmony with what God would have us to be and think and say here. And this morning is truly as we have come here this morning. Tomorrow begins a new year, but this can be a new beginning for someone today. If you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, we'd be more than happy to baptize you into Christ. If you have a faith strong enough and willing to be a person who would confess Jesus Christ, we'd be more than happy to baptize you into the body of Christ. As one author wrote, we're thinking about our life. One author was writing, I thought it was such a great point. He said, there is no security on this earth. There's only opportunity. And I think that was such a great point. We've got an opportunity here this morning. If you're subject to Christ's call this morning through the gospel of Christ, would you please come as we stand and sing?
Oh, the way we journey may be often drear. We shall see the King someday. On that blessed morning, clouds will disappear. We shall see the King someday. We shall see the King someday. We shall shout and sing someday. Gathered round the throne when he shall call us home. We shall see the King someday. After pain and anguish, after toil and care, we shall see the King someday. Through the endless ages, joy and blessing share. We shall see the King someday. We shall see the King someday. We shall shout and sing someday. Gathered round the throne when he shall call his own. We shall see the King someday. After conquered, after battles won, we shall see the King someday. After strife is over, after set aside, we shall see the King someday. We shall see the King someday. we shall shout and sing someday. Gathered round the throne when he shall call his own, we shall see the King someday.